Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Governor Kristi Noem says it's time to take action to fight meth abuse and addiction in South Dakota. The governor laid out plans for treatment and enforcement funding in her state budget proposal, asking for more than $3.5 million in dedicated resources. This came just weeks after the state launched a new meth awareness campaign. The campaign is designed to involve all South Dakotans in the fight against meth addiction. Lori Gill is secretary for the South Dakota Department of Social Services, and she's joining us today for a look at the problem in the state and a little bit about what you can do about it. She's on the phone from Pierce. Secretary Gill, thanks for your time today.
You bet. My pleasure.
So now that South Dakotans have a familiarity with the meth campaign itself, let's talk about some of the numbers, because I think it took some people by surprise to think that this was a far bigger problem in the state than they realized.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm always telling people about this and making it very clear this is not just a South Dakota problem. It is a problem in the upper Midwest and across the nation. But we just have seen data that is concerning to us. The trend is going in a direction that we feel needs to change in our state. And so we're actively talking about it. We're actively making sure that the resources are out there available for people that want to work together to change the trends. But some of the things that we're seeing, first of all, probably one of the most notable statistics that we've been talking about is the fact that twice as many South Dakota 12 through 17-year-olds report using meth in the past year than the national average. So, you know, the trending that we're seeing is that we do have meth in our state. It's accessible, and it is getting in front of our kids. And so that is the type of statistic that we're trying to hone in on and do some work. The other thing that we see is with the funding that we have, the state funding treatment services that we provide, we have lots of data that comes out of that. And we're seeing that the number of individuals with a primary meth use disorder who entered state-funded treatment services has been increasing since 2013. And so approximately 500 individuals had a primary meth use disorder in fiscal year 2013. In fiscal year 2019, that number had soared to 2,383. So that's a 200% increase we're seeing over the past several years. So we know we have an issue here, and it's time that we talk about it. We have a governor that's very interested in making sure that all aspects of the issue, whether it be educational awareness, prevention, or treatment, that we're coming at it from all those angles together to start to turn those trend lines.
It seems that every time in the past 2 years, at least, that I've asked, as we talked about the opioid crisis and opioid addiction, if there was ever a law enforcement officer in the conversation, they would always say, yes, I'll talk about opioids, but we really ought to be talking as well about meth. So they had their finger on the pulse, and now the rest of the state is also sort of, you know, perking up to listen. Who does it, you mentioned kids as young as 12 to 17-year-olds, and how many of them have access and are using or have used. What does it affect people across the state? Is it a problem that we are seeing congregated in certain communities? Is everyone affected?
Yeah, you know, that is another thing that we're seeing is that it is across the state. It doesn't matter if you're in the big cities, if you're in the rural areas. Geography is no barrier to this. It's across all age groups. And so, you know, we can't just target it by areas, by communities, that kind of thing. It is accessible. The meth that we're seeing today, law enforcement's telling us it's pure, it's strong, and it's coming in from out of state. I call it the bad guys. The folks that distribute drugs, illegal drugs, from Mexico and other places, they're getting it here, and it is accessible. So, no, people cannot stick their heads in the sand and believe that because I live in such and such a community, this isn't going to affect us, because you're right, it is affecting everybody.
One of the things I understand about that, as far as where the meth is coming from, there was a time in South Dakota where we were really focused on people who were making their own meth, which is still happening. But there was a big difference between the meth that is coming from other places than the meth that was being cooked in rural areas, particularly, a decade ago, perhaps, which is causing a lot of deaths and a lot of, a greater increase intensity. That's the word I'm looking for. But we can't ignore meth making in the state as well. How do we need to keep awareness about the people who are not only, dealing, but also manufacturing?
Yep, and you're right about that. I would say that 10, 15 years ago, when we were talking about meth in South Dakota, we were getting the word out that people are cooking it to be aware when you're out, walking in fields and things like that, come across abandoned farm homes, that kind of thing, what to watch for, things like that. It has shifted. And as we've been talking about, it's coming in from other places, and it is powerful. It's highly addictive, and it's coming in a form that is really impacting the brains of young people. And once again, it is very addictive. So what we want to make sure people understand as well is that it could be made yet, and we're trying to raise awareness to the fact that if you start seeing things showing up in your garage, in your basement, that kind of thing, that you aren't used to seeing when there's a change, you should start being aware. People that are addicted to meth, that are making it themselves, start to purchase combinations of meth-making ingredients. The kinds of things that might show up are cold and allergy medicine, anhydrous ammonia, lithium batteries, table or rock salt, sidewalk de-icer, drain cleaner, starter fluid. Those are the kinds of things that if they start showing up in quantities or that you don't normally see in your household, or they're just plain things that are in odd spots, that kind of thing, you should have an awareness of what's going on.
All right, let's talk about recognizing meth use and the signs of meth use in your family, in your workplace, in your community, in your school. What should we be aware of?
Yep. The one main thing is that if there are changes in behavior for somebody that you know well, either you work beside, a neighbor, someone in your household, changes in behavior are a sign that something's going on. It doesn't always mean drug use, but it should perk you up that, gosh, maybe this person needs to talk. Maybe I need to have a conversation about how are things going in your life to try to figure out what is going on. But there are actual physical symptoms to look for and be aware of that have to do and have a connection to meth users. Some of those are paranoia, irritability, anxiousness, nervousness. People that are on meth experience sleeplessness. So, there's various symptoms that go along with people that aren't sleeping well. Dilated pupils, nausea, vomiting, dental issues, hallucinations, skin ulcerations and infections, violent or erratic behavior. All of these things can be symptoms. If you see several of these happening at the same time in somebody that previously had not exhibited this, it's maybe time to suggest a conversation if you're close enough to them to get them to go to the doctor. Maybe speak with some trusted person about what's going on in their lives. Be aware. And one thing we're trying to do is make sure we've got the resources out there that talk about these kinds of things and what to look for. We have this kind of information on our website, onmeth.com, that can provide the kinds of things to look for, either for a community or an individual, a teacher, a parent.
What are some of those effective conversations if you are suspicious? It can be terrifying, especially if you're a parent, trying to figure out immediately you want to control that, stop that, keep that away from you. Where is the place to begin as a teacher, as a parent, as a community member, once you are suspicious? What are some of the first steps you should take other than, you know, logging onto the website?
Yes, well, what the website does for you is it gets down into the various, your particular situation. And that's one thing. Every situation is different, and it depends on who you are running into that is exhibiting these types of behaviors or raising your awareness. You know, if it's in your household, it would be easier to have a personal conversation. If it's a neighbor or someone in your classroom, we have different ways to approach it. We do have resources that are available that are professionals that can help talk through this with people that don't know what to do. So we do have different types of folks, such as entities, nonprofit organizations. We have links to the community mental health centers that have professionals that can help somebody talk through the situation before you confront someone so that you are sure that you're on the right track. We have toolkits for teachers to be able to start to address this conversation in their classroom. If somebody wants to talk to somebody and it's involving a youth, we suggest that you reach out and talk to guidance counselors, principals. We have a network of folks that are there to be able to talk through this with you. So the website just is a place to at least start examining, getting a feel for who you can call, who you can talk through this with, so that you're prepared. And we just want folks to know whether they're using or whether they are in a household with somebody that's using, that it is not hopeless, that there are folks that we can talk to across the state, no matter where you're located, that can assist you with these conversations.
Do we need more treatment options for people? What do you see in the future for South Dakota to effectively treat the meth addiction?
Yes, we know that we do have immediate resources available, and that's what our goal is that when somebody decides today's the day I'm going to go and seek help, that when they make that call or that text or that they enter that chat room saying today's the day I need help, we want to make sure that there is treatment available. We have various treatment centers across the state that have the walk-in capacity, the ability for somebody to walk in and get assistance right away. The first step is to get in and have a professional do an assessment to determine what your needs are. Some of the needs can be handled in an outpatient basis, and we have a variety of different facilities across the state that can do that. If somebody needs the more intense inpatient treatment, we have those facilities available. Some of those, there are waiting lists. And so what we have done is do an analysis of what the need is out there and what our capacity is. We do know that the current meth crisis is pushing our capacity, and that is why in both the current state budget and next year, the request that the governor is asking for, we are asking for additional treatment dollars. We think that we do need extra beds throughout the system. We do have geographical gaps in the state where there might be waiting times for the actual intensive inpatient treatment beds. So what we're doing is we're trying to ramp up on the treatment so that when somebody is needing it, we have it available and they don't have to wait for a bed. We do know that if somebody has to be put on a waiting list, then they are less likely to follow through with the treatment that they need. So our goal is to have treatment available when someone needs it.
Lori Gill is Secretary for the South Dakota Department of Social Services, and that website, again, is onmeth.com. And the idea of that, Secretary Gill, is really that it's everyone's responsibility and everyone's opportunity and everyone's challenge to come together and address this problem. Thank you so much for talking with us today. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.